It is Wednesday, March 27, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio on Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Great to be back after a couple of days off. And Benny Way, I'm sure, filled in and threw a few grenades for the boys over the last couple of days. How are you, pup? What's doing?
Morning, buddy. Welcome back. Morning, Lozza. Morning to our listeners. Not much. Just trying to keep an eye on what's going on. Rugby league world.
A lot of players out.
Oh,
that's the thing that struck me the last couple
out.
Of days.
A lot of big players
out. Significant injuries.
I like the Tigers again this week, Loz. Oh. I reckon we can go again.
Morning, boys.
How are you, Loz?
I wouldn't say you can't win. Mm. I think they were pretty impressive the other night against the Sharks. I didn't see it live, but I've since watched some highlights and watched some footage and... Yeah, what I saw was pretty good. Taking on a Parramatta side who are going to be difficult to beat at home and the style of footy they play will certainly test the Tigers, but I wouldn't say they can't beat them, putting their confidence out of that performance. But, yeah, there was a lot of injuries around, but I think there's always an injury story at the start of every year. It's just that it's come a little bit later this year. Usually it's in the trials. We always see the story about... $20 million worth of talent sitting on the sideline. So I think it's just part and parcel of the game.
It's going to be a halfback this year.
It's a contact sport. Mm. We've just got to get used to it. You've got to have good depth in your squad. And if you've got that, you can win games when players are missing. But what about that terrible bridge collapse over there in Baltimore last night?
Believe it.
I saw it on the news last night. And then obviously it's dominating this morning. But that was just horrific to see that shipping container boat go into that bridge.
What's the ship captain doing? What is doing there?
Well, I think it had a malfunction. I think he couldn't stop it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they actually warned people. They were doing roadworks. They were warning people.
Oh, to get off the
bridge. To get off the bridge.
Oh. Yeah, I think there was six or eight workers on the bridge at the time. I thought I heard yesterday as well. It was, and unfortunately, a few of them are still missing. So
terrible.
Fingers crossed. Hopefully. Yeah, they can find them. And
yeah, your life can change in such a short space of time, can't it? You know.
Yep. Enjoy the day, that's for sure.
Easter weekend coming up and naturally great footy across it. Tim Zhu, Sebastian Fundora on Sunday as well. It's going to be huge, isn't it?
And
also see Pup. Well, last night, by the way, the Socceroos beat Lebanon 5-0 as well. But I see the summer schedule, which has been reported for a few weeks for cricket next summer.
Did see that.
Yeah, come out as well. So the first test against India will be in Perth, November 22, December 6, the day-night test in Adelaide, December 14, Brisbane, MCG, Boxing Day, SCG, January 3 to 7.
Our first five test series against India.
Yeah.
So exciting. I think it's we've obviously always played five against England, but they've been the only country we play five against. So this will be a nice change.
Why has that changed?
I would assume money, if I'm to be 100% honest with you. I'd say that's it. Well,
they must be getting a lot more than India.
Who's that?
Well, India, to agree to playing five test matches. Like you talk about money, it'd be more India getting money.
Well, I think India have said, I think this might have been part of the big fish sticking together. So they just played five test matches against England in India. But again, every country knows when India comes to your shores, that's the only time you make money. Every other tour from every other team... You take a loss. Cricket Australia take a loss. So India makes enough money for the four-year cycle. So that one extra test match to Cricket Australia would be worth millions.
Yep.
So, again, all you'd need to do is when you go to India, you just have to repay that back like England
you've
have just
done. You've got to play five.
You've got to play five again.
Well, if they want you to play four, you've got to play four.
If they say jump, you say how high.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be a good series. I think that'll be a – if they turn up with a full-strength team, India – I think that'll be a really good series. Good for Test cricket and all the major venues. I don't mind the first Test being at Perth. I think you either want the Gabba or the Wacker because those two grounds are so different to everywhere else. Now, obviously, it's not at the Wacker. I understand that. But even Optus Stadium, that drop-in wicket, they normally leave a bit of grass and a bit of pace in it to try and create some similarities to the Wacker. So,
it'd suit touring teams, wouldn't it?
Say that again.
It suit touring teams, in particular, like India and...
The Wacker?
Yeah.
No way. Or WA? No, complete
more
opposite.
More than the Gabba.
It's Gabba and...
WA would suit them more than the Gabba.
Nah. Well, not...
Most definitely.
Mate, are you talking about old Wacker or Optus Stadium?
No, Optus Stadium.
Optus Stadium is probably...
We have a great record at Optus
Stadium. Yeah, we might have a great record.
It's probably not as fast and bouncy.
I reckon if you ask the Indians or the Poms, they'd rather play at Optus Stadium first than the Gabba.
Well, the Gabba, I thought even through my career when I was playing at the Wacker, I still felt the Gabba was the quickest, bounciest wicket.
Yeah.
When I started... my career, the Wacker was definitely the quickest, bounciest wicket, but I reckon it transitioned to the Gabba. But what I'm saying is, I think if Cricket Australia have a choice, I think either one of those two is still, there's a significant difference in those two compared to Adelaide Oval, Sydney SCG, Melbourne. MCG.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most
and definitely. I really like the Adelaide Oval Test going back to being a day-nighter. I think that is the right venue for a day-night test.
Because our last two series, we've lost... a couple of games here, haven't we, at the Gabba? Although we lost to India last time they came out. I know we lost to West Indies there.
Recently.
But not in the obviously not in the first
test
of the series.
Test, but I saw the first test where we were undefeated and hadn't lost a match there. That record was such an advantage.
Yeah.
Well, the key is for the Perth people to actually go would be a good start.
Yeah, well, you'd think India, like that's what I'm saying. I think you'll see the stadiums a lot fuller than what we saw, and understandably as well. Like, don't get me wrong, we're playing West India. I know West Indies won the last test, and that's awesome for cricket, but we're playing a Pakistan team and a West Indies team. Mm. The Australian fans didn't know any of the players. I don't think you can blame them for not showing up. They're not being 60,000 or 80,000. I think when India turn up, I think you'll see
you'll see some
big crowds. England's the same.
Yeah.
Ashes series, you see big crowds, but that's the challenge you got now. You know, families have got. Do I go spend the money on BBL where I know the players for my own team, or do I go and spend the money and watch a day of Test cricket, Pakistan or West Indies? I don't know any players, and the cricket's not going to be great, so. I don't blame anyone for not showing up last summer, but I'd like to think against India we'll see good competitive cricket and a really good test summer that I think we need. I think we need a good test match summer. That's why I think everyone was so pumped that the West Indies won that last test.
Yeah, you're probably right. But this will be a great season.
I think it will
be the next couple of years, obviously, with India and...
is your font big enough there, Mitch?
Who's been playing with his computer? Seriously.
Benny Wayne.
What's going on here?
Mate, big font.
Seriously. It's been sabotage.
You got 4 words per page, mate.
Seriously.
Turn the font down.
Top text too. Daily. Mate, I think I've got more idea about cricket than you, unless you're Alan Border. So you're deleted.
Started early. I like it.
You're deleted.
Oh, dear.
Mate, and I will put my balls on the line and say that the Gabba in the first test, opposition teams don't want to play there more than what they want to play at Optus Oval. Please. You've got no idea.
Opposition teams would definitely prefer to play at Optus Stadium versus the old Wacker, that's for sure.
Against the old Wacker?
Yeah.
But I'm talking
Optus. It's Optus a dropping Oval. Wicket.
Mate,
yeah.
Mate,
yep.
You can't tell You're me right. that they wanted to play at the Gabba over Optus Oval. No way in the world.
In saying our record is, I know you're right. It's not the old Wacker, but our record so far. It's early days. What there's been 7 test matches, I think, at the Optus Stadium in Perth, and we haven't gone close to losing any of them. Mm. But it is 6:13. I love it. Great days racing, of course. Saturday we'll get final fields, barrier draws today. The Tancred, the Vinery. As well, and some, I guess, races, you could say, lead-ups to big ones in the championships coming up at Randwick Saturday week as well. But back at Rosehill, of course, this week. Multi, get any praise on Monday?
Yes, lots of praise, but I've got some bad news for you.
No, hit me.
Loz has taken full responsibility for the success of the multi.
Oh, right, okay.
So just know, you haven't been left out. You've been a part of it, but you probably haven't got the personal praise that you deserve. Let's just leave it there. But as a team, I think we've praised it a lot.
It's a team sport.
To be fair, it fell in. I don't know if you saw the Gambara had
to
run.
Yeah, no, I saw the races.
Absolutely fell in.
Yeah.
Nearly got pipped.
Doesn't matter how it gets
there. That's exactly
doesn't
right.
Doesn't matter
mate.
How it gets there.
Look at the Rabbitohs this week. I don't care if they win by one. They just got to win.
It's just got to win. and stops the noise, and they'll go looking for someone else.
Yes,
someone fix this font.
No, seriously. I like it. I like it so
that's
big.
Ridiculous.
That is big.
So when our mate Gary decides to send a text, what's Gaz's last name? I get it wrong every day.
He's from Woodalba.
Oh, Woodalba,
on the Central Coast.
Gaz, morning, morning, Gazza. When you send us a text this morning, mate, we'll see it in the largest font you can think of. So help yourself.
Yeah, more texts have come through.
They have come through, and I'd just like to thank this guy. He hasn't left a name to it, but he's acknowledged that he was wrong.
Yeah,
so I'm happy.
Yeah.
So thank you for acknowledging you're
great
wrong.
Stuff.
Gazza, yeah, morning, mate. We got yours as well. We'll pass it on to Benny Way. He liked his tips yesterday. And from San Diego, he says good morning as well.
Keep them coming. 0419 767 272. Many that we can't read, we have a great chuckle. Don't worry. What about this story? Yeah. And there's so much in the headlines we'll get through throughout the morning. But on the front page of the Herald Sun in Victoria today, footy drugs wrought. Bombshell AFL claims. Top league doctor organised secret test to help players evade detection. Demons whistleblower says stars told to fake injuries to avoid being caught. This is in the AFL. Of course, at this stage, it's the claims of a former doctor there at the Melbourne Footy Club who's now a whistleblower who has claimed it's reached Parliament this. The federal MP, Andrew Wilkie, telling Parliament about this and has called on the Prime Minister to intervene, saying that basically the Melbourne Footy Club doctor has come out and said that when he was at the club, he has conducted off-the-books drug tests for players who may well have taken drugs in days before the match, so they're worried about getting a positive test on match
day. In competition, yeah.
So he's taken them to a separate facility, and according to this report, these off-the-books tests have been allegedly authorised by the AFL. So to go and basically see whether they could potentially test positive on match day, and, well, if that is a chance of happening, these players have been basically told to fake an injury. If this is
heavy
proven at the moment,
heavy.
Accusation. I mean, this is as
it's a big story. If it's
big
been,
a scandal
it's
as he can get.
Yeah, especially if the AFL are involved in telling the doctors to take the players off site and
so
give them a drug
test. So let me understand this. So the players come gone to the doctor and said he's had or she's had an illicit substance out of competition. Right.
Well, in the days in the lead up to a game, and therefore it could still be in the system on match day.
So
would
then
be
the
concern
so then
of the player.
So then the doctor has said, "Let's go and have a test.
Yep.
Private test
off the books.
See
yes.
if it's still in your system.
Yep.
If it is in your system, you're going to be ruled out injured. If it's not in your system, you go and play."
That's the according to
oh
this
my
report today.
God.
Stress. This is the report.
But what are they
in the
doing
Herald
getting
Sun?
On the wow cocaine a couple of days
well,
before
that's
a game because cocaine's out of your system. Quite quickly.
Well,
if you know what you're taking.
Yeah.
A lot of the time with stuff like that, people are taking it with the assumption that it's you don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
You don't know what else has gone
yeah.
into the cocaine.
Yeah,
so something could stay in your
but
system
if you
for
take,
longer than 24 hours.
If you're playing on a Saturday, what are you doing on
yeah,
a Thursday
I
night?
I don't know, Lord.
Or
it's
a Friday
incredible.
Night.
Yeah, but mate, these days, mate, that what's the difference between that and drinking? That's what they'd say. Like, if
oh,
you have
yeah,
a few
yeah,
drinks,
yeah, but I, yeah,
that's
but I,
that's how they take it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't.
And there's and they would believe the hangover
yeah.
for the drugs
yeah.
is less than
oh,
the hangover
yeah,
for the alcohol.
Yeah, but you're not drinking 2 days before a game or a day before the game.
Especially in the AFL.
Why would you take in drugs 2 days before the game?
No.
I can understand if they're out on a night out or something like that. On a weekend, it's 7 days between their next game. But I don't know. I don't get it why they'd be doing it a day or two before the game. But if the AFL have known, and the club has known, and the coaches have known, and everyone on the board has known. Well, they're in all sorts.
But what
was the drugs policy with the AFL? I mentioned this to Ben Way yesterday. Wasn't there a hotline that you could ring and self-report, and that didn't count as a strike?
I know the second time they get four matches.
Yeah.
So I can't remember the whole
It might
policy.
Be now, but I think a couple of years ago, it was getting abused, and that's one of the reasons why they looked to change it.
I know they're
that
looking.
That was my recollection.
I know they're going to update their illicit policy at the moment. They're going through the process of updating it. So that will, this story will get obviously more legs today. It's a massive story, front page of the Herald Sun. We'll go to the back page of the Courier Mail. Walsh Inc.'s new mega deal, eye-watering contract. Reece agrees, $5.5 million extension, youngest million-dollar man in NRL, highest-paid Bronco in history.
Well, he's denied it.
The man himself on social media last night has put a little Instagram story and says, don't believe everything you read. No deal has been signed. So we'll see how this all transpires. According to the report in the Courier Mail, Reece Walsh has agreed, according to
the
report.
He will be signing.
Well, you know.
He will be signing.
You think he would, but it's interesting that he personally would come out and say that. Because to me, if he's coming out and saying that, that's to have a conversation with another team or to get more money.
I just think he just hasn't signed it. He's probably agreed, but then you get a cooling off period as well. You get a 7-day cooling
off period. I reckon it's interesting that his agent could have come out and said that.
I saw Jerome Luai do it before he went to the Tigers, but everyone knew he was going to the Tigers.
But did he get more money by coming out and saying, I haven't signed yet, we're still in negotiation?
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
No. I'd be stunned if another club was able to come in and take Reece Walsh.
The Broncos what are they off? $5.5 million
over 5 years.
The Broncos
won't be getting beaten on Reece Walsh.
Do you reckon no one will pay more money than that, though?
I think commercially and third-party deals that he'll be able to attract up there in Brisbane and Queensland.
And his family's there. Yeah, wasn't that a big part of why he left the Warriors?
He won't be moving, mate.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'd be shocked if he did.
I'm surprised he would come out and...
Probably just hasn't been signed.
Mate, if you've agreed to it,
probably some more
going today and
clauses in the contract that they're still just, toing and throwing over, pup.
Anyway, great signing for the Broncos.
Yeah. Subject to it.
If you've agreed to this deal,
subject to X, Y, and Z being signed off on.
And Leichhardt Oval, front and back page of the Daily Telegraph today. Oval and out, lack of funding for ground could end Leichhardt's NRL era. And on the back page of the telly, goodbye Leichhardt. NRL must take over eighth wonder of the world story by Paul Kent. So the Premier, Chris Minns, says there's no state government money coming due to, they've got $180 billion worth of debt there in the state government. Paul Kent in today's Telegraph, he put to Peter Volandis, would they, the NRL, consider buying the ground from the Inner West Council? And he indicated they'd be interested, did Peter Volandis. The mayor, though, Darcy Byrne, there at the Inner West Council, says it's not on the table at the moment. But if nothing happens with Leichhardt, it is inevitable that, unfortunately, NRL at the famous ground is coming to an end without investment.
Yeah.
But didn't we love watching it there on Saturday night? I mean, how good was it?
Yeah, and the Tigers, I think they obviously got there's extra motivation playing in front of your home fans there. And you sounds to me from speaking to a lot of players that have played there, and Loz says it as well, you can feel it as a player. The standards are not, where it sits at the moment, it's not a good enough facility these days. And the amount of people it holds to be used by the Tigers. I think that's, as hard as it is to say that, I think that's the reality. It either needs the money invested into it. Because you were talking about, what ground were you talking about yesterday?
Combank.
How can you compare Combank Stadium?
Combank and Allianz Stadium are two world-class
great
facilities.
Stadiums,
and you compare that to Leichhardt. Yeah. I understand the tribalism that's created those grounds. But if Allianz is full, or 35, 40,000, like the other night against South and the Roosters, it's a great atmosphere. Yeah. Combank Stadium's a great atmosphere. Mm. So I get it. But the Tigers make no money when they play Leichhardt. So you're a club looking to generate income, and you're playing at a ground with 16,500. Yeah. You barely walk away after a game like that making any money at all. Mm. Whereas you can get guaranteed a couple hundred thousand by playing at those bigger venues. Mm. Yes, I know it's not great for the players if you're playing in front of, 5,000 or 10,000, but, you play Combank Stadium, you get 20,000. Mm. That creates a good atmosphere.
Always texts on stadiums, particularly the Leichhardts, etc., the suburban crowns, when they're certainly a factor as far as the front and back pages today is Leichhardt Oval, and Pauline has texted in, morning lads, lots of energy this morning. RE, the Tigers at Leichhardt, yes, an investment on services / facilities is required, but not a new stadium. That takes away the feel and history of the venue. The economics piece, though, needs deeper thought. If the club breaks even dollar-wise on game day, so what? Let's call the crowd / vibe the 18th man, or the notional purchase of $1 million player on the books. Home ground equals wins, worth every cent. Get what you're saying, but you do need to cater for the corporates in this day and age, as far as that's where clubs make their money. You need to have some facilities to, you know, sort of cater for that.
And you've got to future-proof your club too.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, because if something all of a sudden goes wrong and, you know, you haven't got any assets or you haven't got any money behind you, all of a sudden you're at risk of not being in the competition. Mm. So you've got to build a war chest, so to speak. And I know the game does that particularly well. But clubs too, they need to be able to not just rely on the grant off the NRL, because they want to, you know, turn it into a business as well and make money and have assets at the end of the day, and not sort of rely on the money from the NRL, which is just pays for salary caps and whatever else. But yeah, if you're running it like a business, you want to walk away from a game of football knowing that you've got a bit of money in the bank after that game.
We just need to somehow get it up to, you know, get it up to a standard where we can have the amount of games that are being played there now, basically. Yeah. But how do we do that?
I mean, well, it's an interesting debate. It's an interesting debate, Mido, because for me, yeah, I could go to Leichhardt Oval and I could stand on the hill and watch and have a good night, but I don't know whether I want to do that every week. Because when you've enjoyed the experience of going to a Combank or an Allianz or somewhere you can sit, you don't have to line up to go to the toilet. You don't have to line up, well, you know, as long, you know, to get your food and drink if you're going. It's, I don't know.
But that's what they're talking about. I don't think anyone's saying leave Leichhardt how it is and play on. Everyone's saying
it
needs an upgrade, 100%.
Yeah.
We're just not going to get the... And why... I see the... who's peed off that the money's going to Penrith Stadium?
I think everyone.
Oh, really?
well, certainly Shane Richardson and the Tigers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And as I think Paul Kent details today, you've got to remember that where the Penrith Stadium is, marginal seat, state and federally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bit different around Leichhardt. Well, it's in the Prime Minister's seat, I'm pretty sure, and federally.
It'd be unreal if they found the money and upgraded Leichhardt. That would be the dream come true for a Tigers fan, I reckon.
Yeah. But yeah, it would be.
Doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. Seems like there's a lot more chance that we mightn't see too many more games at Leichhardt Oval, unfortunately.
Which would be a real shame. But, you know, this, like, rugby played there, some soccer games are played there. Yeah. Like, somehow, like, it's more than just the Tigers that use Leichhardt Oval. So somehow, anyway, we can spend a whole show on this. And Johnny from Moorbank says, as much as we enjoy Leichhardt, Brookie, Belmore, etc., it's time to move on. We need to play at venues that have these first-class facilities, great vantage points, public transport, and a capacity of at least 25,000, says Johnny from Moorbank. Yes, we are in the midst of March Madness over there with the NCAA, the tournament, and as I say, g'day to Dick. Betting chalk or favourites has been pretty profitable so far, Dick. How are you?
It has been. I'm good. We've had we'd have some really good games, and what happens though is everybody hopes for these upsets in the first couple rounds. But when you have upsets in the first couple rounds, then you have some very unappetizing matchups when you get later on down the road, like we had last year with Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. You know, those two teams playing in the Final Four with one of them making the championship game. Basically, all the cream of the crop are rising here, so it's setting up for a great Sweet 16 and potentially an all-time Final Four. I mean, we've only had one Final Four where all one seeds have made it. I don't think all one seeds are going to make it this year, but they're certainly right.
Anyone caught your eye yet, Dick?
I think we've lost him. Yeah, we'll get him back shortly.
He gets right into it too, Dick. Oh. He loves it. March Madness.
Well, rates through the absolute roof over there, and I see Caitlin Clark, this sensation in the women's game, Gee, her Iowa side survived only just against West Virginia. So we'll get to Dick about that. Also, Houston Open this week. We'll ask him about the Shohei Ohtani story. The NFL, by the way, they're banning the hip drop tackle.
I saw that.
Over
that
there in
morning.
The NFL.
We made a couple of... tinkered with a few rules.
Yeah, the kickoffs.
Kickoff. Mm. But the hip drop tackle, yeah, I see that. But obviously that was starting to flow into our game over here and now it's over there in the NFL. But we'll check to see if Dick is back on the line. We got the thumbs up yet from out there? No,
we're
going to call
him. We're going to call him. So we'll get him back up shortly. Dick, and as I mentioned, Brad Rosen will be coming up as well in about half an hour's time, a bit less than actually game four of that NBL Championship Series tomorrow night in Tassie, defending the island, maybe crowning the island tomorrow night.
Never in doubt. Never in doubt.
That's as good a game winner as you'll see.
Yep. Cracker. What a shot. Under pressure.
I mean, it probably wasn't the best shot he could have taken, but, you know, could have advanced the ball, but he owned it.
He knew.
He owned it.
He wanted it. Give him the ball.
I wonder if Dick's seen it. It would have been viral, wouldn't it? It would have went around the world, wouldn't it?
NBL?
I know it's not a big competition, but
mate, Dick didn't even watch the Origin. Didn't even watch the start of the NRL, and it was in Vegas.
Yeah, but he likes basketball.
No chance.
And on social media, that would have done the rounds, I reckon. I don't know.
Not sure.
We'll ask him.
I reckon. No, actually, I won't say that.
Well, you don't reckon?
I reckon you can ask a handful of your mates if they saw it in Australia, and they'll say no.
Yeah, they have actually.
Has it been on the WhatsApp group?
No, it hasn't been on the WhatsApp group, but I saw a couple of blokes the other day.
And they saw it?
And I was just chit-chatting about different things, and someone said, oh, by the way, did you see that shot in the basketball the other day? And they're not basketball fans.
Okay.
But to do it in game three, the grand final series with the series at 1-1.
Massive. Can't be beaten now. Home.
Well, they have to win this one, the Jackies.
Yep.
Because you don't want to be going back to Melbourne for game five.
Mm.
I think this is the one. They must win this one. I don't think they'll be winning game five in Melbourne.
If they do, it'll be the biggest victory for Tasmania in anything, I reckon.
Wow.
In anything.
Jeez.
Wow. What? What do you mean?
That's good. I like it. Good take, Loz.
Biggest Tasmanian victory ever.
In anything. Mm. Sheffield Shield, even it'd be bigger than the Sydney to Hobart race every year going there, even though, you know, you're not from Tasmania, going down there in your own boat and winning the race. But I think this would be the biggest thing that's ever happened down there, wouldn't it? Have to be.
Gee, I'm trying to think sporting wise. So let us know. All our Tassie listeners, 0419767272.
What else has happened down there? And I'm not being rude either, by the way.
Some,
I'm just saying.
Mate, they've had some unbelievable athletes come out of Tassie, that's for sure.
What's happened down there?
You see what's happened down there? Sporting-wise.
What about Ricky Ponting being one of the all-time greatest ever Australian cricketers out of Tassie?
Well, one of the
David Boone.
One of the greatest test matches, like, well, comebacks, maybe victories of all time was the Adam Gilchrist and Justin Langer partnership against Pakistan in what was it, 99?
Yeah, but if you're talking about a Tasmanian team, I'm thinking it's the biggest
thing to come out of Tasmania. Mm.
You can't say it's the biggest thing to come out of Tasmania. You can say it's their best team performance.
Well, that's what I'm sort of getting
yes.
at. I understand.
I'd imagine Ricky Ponting would be a bit bigger than...
But that's the biggest sporting event to happen to a Tasmanian team.
Probably well, right, Loz.
I don't... Yeah, I can't think off the top of my head.
Well, it's bigger than...
What's it competing
with? It'd be bigger than...
Sheffield Shield.
Well, that's pretty much it. When you think national sporting teams with Tassie, it's pretty much only
they've only been into the comp for, 3 years.
And they obviously had the Hobart Tassie Devils back in the early days of the NBL.
The only thing to top it, if the AFL side comes in and wins the comp after 2 years.
That won't be happening.
No, well, you wouldn't think so.
When did Tassie win the Shield?
Did with the Melbourne Storm.
What was the last
year? They won a comp in 2 years.
Yeah, true.
Pup, Tassie won the Sheffield Shield back in 2006-07, and then 2010-11, 2012 13 as well.
Yeah, I'm going to put it out there. If the Jack Jumpers win, that's bigger than winning the Sheffield Shield.
Wow. Mm. I'm going to disagree.
Most definitely.
I'm going to disagree.
Good on you, pup.
Yeah.
Stick up for you.
I think the Sheffield Shield is a...
It's been around for a long
very
time.
Very important competition.
I'm not denying that.
92, 93.
I'm not denying that.
Yeah. Mm. But don't, mate, but you know how I feel about the Jack Jumpers. Ooh. I'm all for them winning. They're my second team. Go team.
Yeah. Actually, I love this text, Cat Eye Raider. Boys, what about the great David Foster winning the Hobart Royal Show Woodchop?
That's very good.
Tasmanians would
point.
Celebrate that.
Yeah, I'm talking love teams, though. Teams.
Very good point.
Teams. Because someone mentioned, didn't a Tasmanian win the Tour de France? Is Cadell Evans from Tassie? I'll have to check that. I'll take your word for it. But yes, Loz is talking about national Tasmanian team. Well, compete in Australian national competition. Yeah. Is this their greatest win? And I think
they've only got
the Sheffield Shield team's the only competition.
So I'm right.
I'm disagreeing with you. I think the Sheffield Shield is bigger than the NBL.
Hello.
The Sheffield Shield's gone
Hello,
down.
Hello, I'm right.
Why'd you doubt me?
Never.
Do you seriously
take credit for the multi?
Yes, most a lot of it.
No, well, what Majority. I said was
he,
it was a team.
It was his leadership. It was his leadership that allowed you the opportunity were his words.
Yeah, and I've got to allow you to get those two, select those two horses.
Mate, Benny Way wasn't happy. Benny wasn't happy at all.
Well, he wouldn't have given me one
Did you know behind know the that. Gates? No, is it behind the gates? What's Stanley have on a Friday? What's his multi?
Yeah, the behind the gates multi.
Is that on a Friday?
Oh, no. They've got one on the Saturday, which I think, and that's that was 30 to 1
that,
and it won.
That
was Dave's on the Friday.
Oh, okay, right. So they all back something to run top four, I think. Yes. The four of them.
And and Mossy's won again as well.
Did it?
I think. Big week, boys.
Well, Tabby broke.
I believe we've got the great Dick Fane there again. Hello, Dick. We'll try again.
Hey, boys. Sorry about that. Got called in early to work, and wouldn't you know it, a radio station doesn't have good cell reception in the building. So imagine that.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
We
sounds
know
familiar?
Very much. Thank you again. So March Madness. So where are we at? How does it play out from here?
Well, I mean, UConn coming in was the best team. They have done nothing to suggest that they're anything but the best team. But this is such a tournament where the favorite rarely ever goes all the way and wins it. So I still don't think the value is great on UConn at, plus 400 or plus 500, whatever they are. But they have been the best team. I do like their conference, though. UConn plays alongside Creighton and Marquette. All three of those teams have advanced to the Sweet 16. They're all looking very strong. I had Marquette and Creighton making the Final Four in my bracket along with UConn. So we'll see if those three Big East teams can still go to the Final Four. I think the best matchups, though, this weekend, the Duke-Houston matchup is fascinating, as is Purdue and Gonzaga. Gonzaga, as you know, has been a powerhouse in the NCAA tournament for the last 20 years. This was supposed to be a down year for Gonzaga, but they have righted the ship. And they look like the real Gonzaga team now. And I think they can give Purdue all they can handle coming up on Friday.
What's the latest with the gambling issues in baseball and basketball over there, Dick?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. We absolutely, with the rise of gambling in the United States, everybody is on high alert to make sure that gambling stays where it should be and that the games stay legitimate. And so anytime you have the slightest bit of a red flag, people kind of freak out about it, which I understand. I mean, gambling is relatively new here legally in the States. You guys have been doing it far longer than we have and probably have it down a little bit better than we have. Jonte Porter in the NBA, who is he's a two-way player, which is basically another word for a minor league player that plays in the G League some, plays in the NBA some. There's been a couple of situations where there has been an unusual amount of betting on his under point total. And in the two games where there was the unusual amount of betting on a guy that doesn't play much, his over-under was like 3 points in a game, he has pulled himself out of both of those games early with previously undisclosed injuries. And so that's what's got the NBA investigating. One, why are people betting so much money on Jonte Porter's under 3 points? And two, in these two games where they were betting all this money, why is Jonte Porter taking himself out of these basketball games? Highly suspicious. As for the baseball one, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter evidently got into some gambling problems. Shohei says he's been lied to and stolen from by his interpreter. I don't think we see anything attached to Shohei Ohtani going forward. I'd be very, very surprised if Shohei was involved in any of this.
Dick, what about in the NFL? I see this new kickoff rules come into play. Do you like it? And do you think we'll see any more changes before the start of the season?
I really do. I really do like it, guys. And I liked this a few months ago when I was it was brought to my attention that this is what they were doing in the XFL, one of the minor leagues of the NFL, kind of these upstart leagues. And sometimes you can take some really good ideas from some of these upstart leagues. And so what they're doing, because, you know, kickoffs basically were going the way of the dinosaur. I mean, pretty soon kickoffs were not even going to be a thing. And so I think this is a happy medium where you can still have the excitement of a kickoff and yet still not have as many collisions as you would on what was the conventional kickoff before, where you have two teams just running at each other from 40 yards away. Now you have two teams, the blocking team and the return, the blocking team and the attacking team, only 5 yards away from each other, and they cannot move until the return man catches the ball. So there's just far less collisions, high speed collisions in this setup than there was in the prior. And I do think it'll save kickoffs for the long term. And it's been proven to be exciting. We still have some good returns in the XFL.
The NFL draft not too far away as well. Oh, no, I wanted to ask you about the hip drop tackle as well, because it's been a big issue in the NRL. And they've, you know, done a lot to stamp it out of the game. And the NFL is getting rid of this tackle, or trying to.
They are. And I think what really, the hip drop tackle is something we'd never even really heard of 10 years ago, because 10 years ago, you just obliterated people in the NFL. I mean, you could just throw your body around, you could spear them, you could do pretty much anything you wanted to do. But in the eyes of getting this game safer, they've adopted more of these rugby tackling rules. And one of the rugby, tackling techniques was something like this, where you just kind of dead weight yourself, you wrap them around the hips, and you dead weight yourself around the guy's legs. As you mentioned, started illegal in rugby, and now it's going to be illegal in the NFL as well. Geno Smith, the Seahawks quarterback, missed a couple of games because he was hip drop tackled out of bounds. And so, again, it's the NFL trying to maintain and get safer, and yet still not take any of the excitement out of the game. And I think they've done a pretty good job this offseason with a couple of these new rules.
Who's trading up in the draft, which is what now just less than a month away, or about a month away? And because I see the New York Giants have indicated, even though they've got Daniel Jones and paid him a ridiculous amount of money, could they draft a quarterback as well, the Giants?
They could draft a quarterback, and this is a good year to draft a quarterback. There are more quarterbacks in this draft that I think are potential legitimate starting caliber guys. I'm not going to go so far to say that I think there's a lot of potential stars in this year's draft, but you just need a potential top half of the league starter. And if you can get a top half of the league starter, you can compete, especially if you're not paying that quarterback anything for the first 4 years. Then you can really build your team around him. And we've seen Daniel Jones. We've seen that he is not a top half of the NFL starting caliber quarterback. So if they can get an upgrade at quarterback, they can get rid of Daniel Jones relatively soon. They're still going to be paying a dead cap for Daniel Jones. But they could start Daniel this year. They could potentially draft a quarterback, give him a year to kind of watch and learn, and then start that quarterback next year and get rid of Daniel Jones with a cap hit. Now they might be able to save themselves, because right now the Giants are going nowhere with Daniel Jones making that much money and being the starting quarterback.
And what about the Houston Open this weekend, Dick? Oh, and also Paul Malnati, his victory in the Valspar.
Yeah, Malnati was a good story. He hasn't won in 7 or 8 years. He was in jeopardy of losing his tour card altogether. And, you know, just a great scene with his family afterwards, with his kids afterwards. And, you know, it's just another one of these bizarre 400-1 long shots winning on the PGA Tour this year. And I'm starting to believe that one of the reasons that these long shots are winning these lesser than elevated event tournaments is because maybe the big guns don't care that much about tournaments whose purse is, you know, $1.6 million for the winner and $500,000 for second place, when a couple weeks away there's always going to be this elevated tournament where you're going to make double that. And you see the elevated tournament fields and the leaderboards are much stronger players than some of these lesser tournaments. So we have one of these lesser tournaments this week. Scottie Scheffler seems to be immune to that. He seems to try every week. He seems to compete and be in the top five every week. He should be the favorite. I don't think I can pay 3-1 on a golfer to win a golf tournament.
Tiger Woods
like
prices in his prime.
That's Tiger prices. You know what I mean? If you want to get even money on a top five, I could probably do that because, you know, Scottie is an ATM when it comes to top five, so you could probably win your money back if you bet him on a top five. I like Will Zalatoris this week, guys. I think he's rounding into form. He did miss his last cut at the Players, but he doesn't play the Players particularly well anyway. This seems to be a course that fits his eye. So my first pick this week is going to be Will Zalatoris back in his home state of Texas.
We got him at $19 with Tab. Gosh, Scottie Scheffler's $1.45 in top five betting. That is unbelievable. Dick, thanks so much, mate. And under duress, we found a way. Thank you.
I'll be better next week. Thanks,
guys. Thanks so much.
You're always too good, Dickie.
Welcome back, Brad Rosen, not too far away. Now, last night, the Socceroos beat Lebanon 5-0 in Canberra in their World Cup qualifier. So we're well and truly through to the next round of qualifying. Craig Goodwin, superb, and he missed that first game against Lebanon. Return last night, second half double. He assisted the early goal for Cassini Yenge as well with a deadly cross. It was, and Yenge a bit fortunate to score the goal, but put it in the back of the net. So comfortable victory there for the Socceroos, Graham Arnold's men last night in Canberra. Just some news with the Matildas as well. Their star defender, Claire Hunt, reportedly has a stress fracture in her foot. That is not good. There's no word yet on whether she's in doubt for the Olympics. She, of course, plays for PSG over there in France. If you're just tuning in, this story, which is on the front page of the Herald Sun in Victoria today, this is a massive story, which I'm sure will develop throughout the day and throughout the week, if true, of course. Mm. But if you missed it, footy drugs rort is the headline. Top league doctor organised secret test to help players evade detection. So the crux of the story is the former doctor at the Melbourne Footy Club, the Demons, says he was doing off-the-books illicit drug tests, which, according to this report, were allegedly authorised, allegedly authorised by the AFL, essentially to help players avoid detection of illicit substances on match day. And according to the report, if the players were deemed at risk of testing positive to illicit substance on match day, were then essentially told to fake an injury. So then they couldn't risk being tested and therefore being potentially suspended. So if proven, I mean, this is the report at this stage. And it's, the federal MP, Andrew Wilkie, has brought this up in Parliament and has even asked the Prime Minister to intervene. So we'll see what comes of this throughout the day and the week. But this, obviously, if proven, I reckon has the potential to be almost like the story, like the peptide saga story of what we saw last decade, in the early part of last decade. Could be that bigger story for the AFL, if proven. This is as bad as
it
gets.
There's serious allegations that have been made, and there's a lot of people that will be implicated if, in fact, it is true. So there'll be a lot more detail come out about this, obviously, over the next week or so. But as it stands at the moment, the allegations are pretty strong, and if that's been going on, then there's a lot of people that are in a lot of trouble.
A lot. Essentially, someone at the AFL would have to be telling the Melbourne doctor, I'll just go and test them somewhere else. And if they're positive, just make sure they don't play.
I wouldn't have thought it'd be a high-ranking official. I don't know whether that's just his recollections of a conversation he had with someone. This is what we've got to get. You've got to get more detail about what's allegedly happened. You know, do the board members at the club know? Do the coach know? Do the coaching staff? Who at the AFL knew? Yeah. The doctor. You know, who's he been told to take them off site, tell them to fake injury? These are the questions everyone will want answered, but it'll be a big, massive story down there.
Clarkie's Jack Jumpers. On the verge. Loz says we'll be Tasmania's greatest sporting triumph ever.
Ever.
Since
ever.
It was
not just the last 10 years. I'm talking ever.
Since it was Van Diemen's Land. Bradley, good morning.
Go those Jackies.
Tell me about that basket, Brad.
One, the greatest shot in NBL history.
Wow.
Absolutely no doubt about it. For the play of the game, the time, the season, where we're at, game three, on the road, like that is just unbelievable. And for those that haven't seen the interview afterwards, it was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. He doesn't remember it, by the way. He blacked out, is his words. He does not even remember it. What a fantastic effort by Jack McVay. What a game.
If you had a player from the Jack Jumpers that had to take that shot, was he the bloke?
Yeah, it was him or Milton Doyle. But yeah, he's, look, during the season, he hit a game winner in Cairns, pretty much similar, but not as far out. So he's done it before, and he has just got better and better, this guy. And I'm still dumbfounded by that shot. Like that play, Melbourne, all they needed to do was get the ball in. Yeah. There'd be a foul. They go to the free throw line. They win the game. But they turn it over, and of all people who threw the ball, Matthew Dellavedova, who, you know, has won an NBA championship with LeBron James, and I'm not sort of blaming him. The players didn't make good leads. You can do whatever you want. And he had a great game, Matthew Dellavedova. He played really well, but they've thrown the ball, takes a couple of dribbles. He still had more time where he could have, you know, that shot is not the greatest
wasn't
shot.
Wasn't a good shot.
No. It was one of those coach killers. Like, no. Yes.
How does game four pan out, buddy? Can the Jack jump? I don't know. From a distance, it just seems you can't win like that and now go and get beaten. I just think they have so much. They would have taken so much confidence finding a way to win that game that this is just the dream come true.
You know, you watch sport and you watch histories of sport, and sometimes you're like, you could see that happening 6 months ago where just things happen where it's like, it's just meant to be.
Yeah.
It really is meant to be, and that's what you're saying. And look, it's going to be so tough. Melbourne haven't lost back-to-back games in like years, whatever it was, this season and ages. Well, now they've done it. To beat them three times in a row, whoa, that's going to be so tough because Melbourne have been up. They've shown stats on this. I think Tasmania have been in front out of what they've played 120 minutes. I think Tasmania have been in front like 18 minutes of the season, and they're 2-1 up. It's ridiculous. Melbourne have been in front the whole time. They've played well. They've done everything right, but they haven't got over the line. And the Jack Jumpers are just one of those teams. They just don't give up. They don't care where they're at on the ladder. In the game, they don't care where they're at and how up and down. But then they just play, and then Jack McVay throws that. Mate, I'm still shaking my head with that shot. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen in NBL.
Well, how hard are they going to be now with that momentum behind them, being back at home, fanatical crowd? You'd think that they'd be favourites in this game.
Yeah, they'd have to be. You're right. And you don't want to go back to Melbourne, do you, 2-2? No. And try and get that thing. So they've got to throw everything at it. The biggest thing is they've got to come down from that win. That was like a one that they just threw out. And Melbourne are going to throw everything. Scott Ross, the coach of Tasmania, did a great job. He did what's called small ball. He took two of his bigs out and he played Majok Deng, who was unbelievable and had 15 points in the last quarter. They played him in the five spot. I think they'll do that again. What will Dean Vickerman, the coach of Melbourne, do? Will he go small ball? Will he go big ball? And these are the things that now they've got to try and decide. And hey, they've only got about 30 hours left before tip-off.
Was that a tactical move, Brad, or did I read somewhere that he was forced into it through injury?
Well, sort of. So the answer is Marcus Lee, who is their big seven-footer, who ironically played for Melbourne, went down with a knee injury for Tasmania. So he looks in doubt for this game coming up. So what that meant is they did have Will Magnay, which is a big, and he's playing really well. But Scott Roth just decided to go a different way. And it was a magnificent coaching effort. He just said, nope, we're going to go this way. And it forced Melbourne to make some changes. So they couldn't guard Majok Den. And he had 15, as I said, in the last quarter. So fantastic coaching by Scott Roth.
Okay, the market with Tassie, $1.80. This is tomorrow night. Melbourne, $2. Skinny line, 1.5. Jackie's the minus. How does it play out? What's your prediction, Brad?
Look, I've said it all week. I always said I thought this would go to game five. And I think Melbourne are going to be so tough to beat when this is their final game. You know, this is it. You know what it's like. We've all been there in sport. And as good as Tassie are playing, they know that this is not their last game. They could go to Melbourne and go to game five. Melbourne have no doubt this is it. I so want the Jack Jumpers to win, but I can just see Melbourne winning this just on the back that it's just too much of a game. I want the Jackies to win. Then it can go to game five. And, oh, yeah, I see the Jackies winning that one. So I still think Melbourne, the Jackies can win it. But, oh, yeah, they're good, man.
Okay, right. Melbourne $2 might be the play here if you take the emotion out of it. I see Dean Vickerman's guaranteed his side won't be flat as well. Let's go over to the States. Paddy Mills is certainly getting more minutes for Miami. He's played 22, brilliant. 12, 25 and 22 minutes in his last four games, I see, right?
Brilliant. And they're loving him. I'm getting such good reports that they absolutely love the Aussie, as they call him over there in Aussie. Miami. And they just think he is fantastic. And I think it's been the best thing. Thank God Atlanta let him go. Thank God for the Boomers as well, that he is now playing some quality minutes in Miami.
How are we tracking for the Olympics, by the way, Bradley?
We got not a good draw, Lozza. Yeah. We didn't get a good draw. So we're with Canada. So that's been announced. And then there's two other teams that are going to be playing off. And it looks like we're going to have Spain and Slovenia. Now, Slovenia is Luka. Spain, number two in the world. Canada, number seven in the world. So there's four teams that are in our pool. That is a tough draw to come out of. And of course, the way it goes is like, you know, the top two go through and then the best place third. So going to be very, very tough to come out of that pool.
Do you give the Lakers a chance today against the Bucks? LeBron will play, won't he?
Yeah, look, I think he will. Do I give him a chance? No. The Bucks are playing really well, but you just don't know with the Lakers at the moment. It's throw a coin in the air and see where it lands, and are they going to play hard today or not? So that's been the biggest thing for them. But look, hopefully they'll make the play-in and make some noise, but I can't see them doing any more than that. And the Bucks and Boston are on their way to an NBL Finals. That's what I think.
Golden State, it's over. It's been great. It looks like Houston could even catch them as far as getting into the play-in is concerned as well. And I saw that Jock Landale scored 15 first-quarter points for the Rockets as well. I think that was yesterday. But as far as Golden State's concerned, it's been a great run, a great reign, but it's nearly coming to the end, isn't it?
Yeah, it is to the end. You're right. I think it's a good point. Now it's a matter of what do they do, because they've still got some contracts there tied up. They've got to try and trade their way out of this. I don't think they've got great picks, so it's not like they can go into the into the draft thinking, let's go this one and that one. And unfortunately, it's not one of the strongest drafts anyway, so you're not picking up a Wemby who's gone to San Antonio or something. So there's going to be some tough times, and this is where managers and GMs make their money.
And I'd just like to officially say I was never in, but I'm officially out on the LA Clippers too, Brad.
I know you're out on the Clippers, but I still believe there's a little bit there for your boy. Hey, Harden, I still think you might be out for the Clippers, but you still love
favorite.
Your boy Harden.
Oh, yeah. Still his favourite.
Watch him in the playoffs.
Him and Novak.
Throwing up bricks for fun.
kick it in. They'll have more luck.
What about Atlanta coming from 30 points down against the Celtics yesterday?
Yeah,
it's outrageous.
This is what I worry about the Celtics. You just like, they're the pressure on that program to do what they need to do is unbelievable. I mean, they'll take top spot. They'll go in the East. They'll go deep, but every team just knows that they're going to have that much pressure. You just don't want to be... I feel for Boston as much as I say that. As a Lakers fan, I feel for Boston. I can't believe I'm saying that.
We'll be right. We'll handle the pressure.
We'll.
We will handle the pressure.
Hey, you said LeBron should have retired 5 years ago.
No. Well, I'm talking to Boston Celtics.
Oh, sorry.
Your son's a big Celtics fan, isn't he?
Always been a Celtic.
I thought you were saying you're a Laker now. Now you're a Celtic.
You and Larry Bird.
Is that just a green machine?
Shooting hoops.
Green machine, yeah.
Green machine. I thought it might be.
Similarities. He still thinks Larry's playing.
Jordan is.
Thank you, Brad. Much appreciated.
Go those Jackies.
Now, on the text line, just on the biggest wins by Tasmanian sporting teams, and this is a good nom from Smitty. Tassie back in 1990 beat the Mighty Victoria in the AFL State of Origin match. At the time, it was enormous. Origin was big in AFL games back then. Victoria had some big names in the team. And that,
yeah, that's
and
pretty good.
Origin back then,
yes,
it was,
yes,
huge. And to beat the big V,
that's up there,
was that would be right up there. I reckon that's a great nom. That's probably is the greatest.
Yeah, you probably shot down my argument. Who's that from?
Smitty,
you didn't have to text that in, mate. I was on a bit of a roll. I had the chest out. I thought I was onto something there.
That is thinking, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. It's still not a
It's not definitive. It's just, it's subjective.
It's an argument.
I'm still taking the shield final.
Yeah, you said never back down.
I'll never back down. Even if I'm wrong, yeah. I will never back down. I'll stick and stick until I've got no more fight left in me.
We've got Euro qualifiers on this morning. Georgia have beaten Greece on penalties after the match finished scoreless. So Georgia through to the Euros coming up in, what, a couple of months or so time. Greece, the champions of 2004 when they sparked, well, buoyant scenes to say the least there at around Brighton, Lausanne, I remember, and also in Melbourne as well. Greece won't be at the Euros this year. Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Mido. Morning, boys.
Great days racing coming up. The Tancred, and I see post-impressionists likely to back up.
Yeah, and you can understand why William Haggis is thinking that way, Mido. He was so impressive winning the Mannion Cup there at Rosehill on Slipper Day. And not a great deal of depth for this Tancred field, you wouldn't have thought, on the weekend. It's just difficult with so many weight for age, the 2,000-metre races on around the country. Obviously, had the Randvet last week and the Australian Cups at Flemington on Saturday as well. So the field's probably going to fall away a little bit. And probably main dangers will be a couple of horses are going to be backing up from the Randvet last week in Military Mission and potentially Buckaroo too. So I see James Cummings, Mido, has sort of flagged that Tom Kitten may back up in the Tancred Stakes there on the weekend as well. So an added three-year-old to the mix will be interesting. But from what we saw on the weekend with Post Impressionist, and we chatted about on the program earlier this week, these European horses over 2,000 metres plus are just different gravy to ours. So if he holds his form and comes to that run well, albeit it is very unusual for these European horses to race twice within 7 days, he's clearly going to be the horse to beat.
Jeez. James McDonald picked up a good ride, the TJ Smith.
He has, Loz. His manager, Mark Gessler, have been doing some work on the phones behind the scenes. He's going to ride I Wish I Win for Peter Moody in the TJ Smith Stakes. So haven't seen him, the horse, in the Autumn Carnival so far. That'll be his first run of the Autumn and then probably have a couple of starts up there in Queensland. But Luke Nolan's obviously his usual rider. He's coming back from a bit of an injury. He rode I Wish I Win in a jump out, I think, last week. But he pulled up and I think told Connections, listen, I'm still working my way back to full fitness. I'm probably not going to be right at the top of my game for the first day of the championships. So Waikato Stud and Peter Moody have gone with James McDonald, and he'll get his chance to win the TJ Smith on Saturday week.
So he's not locked in to ride it for the whole campaign?
I don't think so, Loz. I don't think so. I think Luke Nolan's being very cautious about his comeback. Obviously had some internal injuries from that incident back in January, I think it was. So he's trying to get his way back to just feeling good and fresh about himself and said, listen, this is a huge race, the Group 1. I don't want to let the Connections down by not feeling my best. I need some more, I suppose, minutes under my belt, if I'm putting in those terms, and he'll obviously reunite with I Wish I Win at some stage in the future.
That all-in market with Tab as it stands. Imperator is short at 250. I Wish I Win 350. They really dominate the market. Sunshine in Paris at 7. Private Eye at 8. Double figures. The rest as it stands for the TJ on day one of the championships.
Well, you probably poke some holes in that market, Mido, because I Wish I Win hasn't raced this campaign. So there's got to be some sort of concern about him being first up after such a longish break. And I don't know what you guys think. Imperatriz has won a couple of Group 1s this campaign, but I clearly think she's a couple of lengths below what we saw in the spring. So, yeah, I don't know. Just having a quick look at that market, I want to wait until it gets a bit closer to jump time, but I could be definitely looking to or gravitating towards something a little bit outside the market to beat those two favourites.
If Storm Boy and Lady of Camelot clash again, which I think they will, which camp are you going to be in?
Yeah, good question, Loz. I want to be forgiving of Storm Boy, just given what happened there on the weekend. He was slow in the stride, probably on the inside part of the track, which probably wasn't the best going on Slipper Day there at Rosehill on the weekend. So I want to be very forgiving of him, but I think it'll be a good clash if they can both line up in the size produce on Saturday week. I think Gay and Adrian at this stage are thinking if they stay together, they'll both head towards that race. But they need to get a group on with Storm Boy, Laws. Like, I know he's worth an absolute fortune. He's going to stand at stud at some stage in the future. And I'd imagine he'll be very, very attractive to breeders. But you want that group one on the resume, don't you? Like, I know the Magic Moons win was phenomenal, but he's still yet to get that group one win. So they might be thinking, let's strike while the iron's hot. Usually what happens at this time of year is the two-year-olds sort of fall away a little bit and you'll get some smaller fields for the size produce and the Champagne Stakes. This might be his chance, but I tell you what, his stalemate, the filly, she's going to be hard to beat.
Adam, what about this Leichhardt Oval situation, buddy? How do you see that panning out, and do you think it's going to survive?
Good question, Clarkie. Like, I still think the Tigers will be reticent to take away games from Leichhardt Oval completely, full stop, and not play at that venue in the future at all. What I can see is them maybe reducing the amount of games they play at Leichhardt. And I don't know what you guys think, but I don't follow the Tigers, so I don't have any skin in the game, so to speak. But I'd be more than happy for the Tigers to play just one or two games a year at Leichhardt. The huge Saturday afternoon games that they play there, they pack the joint out. They're playing five games there this year. I think everyone knows the facilities there are fairly substandard. I know the fans love it. It's great. They can get on the hill, and there's a huge crowd there on Saturday night. The atmosphere was fantastic. But I don't think it's a long-term play for the Tigers to be playing five or six home games a year at Leichhardt. I just don't think it's going to work.
No. What is the long-term play for them then, Adam? I mean, if you're going to have five at Leichhardt and what they got, I'm assuming five at Campbelltown. Like Campbelltown venue's not great either.
Is CommBank. CommBank's a great stadium.
It is a fantastic stadium, Middo. There's probably two things they've got to work on. A, they've got to get fans there. They've got to try and, you know, I suppose, train the Tiger supporters to be able to say, listen, this is our home now. We have to travel out to Parramatta and we're going to make this a bit of a fortress. And the other thing is that it's hard when everyone knows it's Parramatta's home ground. Like, Parramatta are the major tenants there. It's in their heartland. Do you want to be sharing that ground with another club? I don't know, but I agree.
Yeah, but the South want to share it now with the Roosters, the Allianz.
Hmm. Well, that's true. That's true, Loz. I agree with Middo for what it's worth, Loz. I think they should be playing more games at CommBank Stadium. I know I'll get howled down by people on the text line and you guys call us later this morning, but I think they should be doing more at some of those major stadiums and trying to get 20, 25,000 fans at those grounds each time they play. What happens if the Tigers suddenly turn around and start being successful and they get a massive surge in membership and fans who want to be involved? You're not going to get much more than 16 or 17 at Leichhardt.
No, you're going to be locking people out of the game. You don't want to do that.
They've got to be looking big picture, Loz, to me.
Yeah. Well, if I don't know how many members they have or you know, full season members, but if the Tigers start to go well, they're going to have massive support.
When will start to go well?
Well, you will. You, at some point in time, you think you're going to have success. And if you can only allow 16,000 people into a stadium.
100% agree. It's not enough.
You're denying your members the opportunity to go to a game.
Yep.
So I come back today to learn that Loz has taken credit for our multi-success on the weekend, Adam. But anyway, we'll overlook that for the moment and get a tip off you today.
Race four, number one, Soldier of Rome, the best value on the program of the Kenzo Mido. I thought he was a little bit plain last start, but definitely had excuses. He went far too quickly up front. Hopefully a bit of a more controlled tempo on speed today. He can be kicking in there in the finish. So that's race four, number one, Soldier of Rome.
$8.270 the place. $8. Soldier of Rome. Race four, number one. For the in-form, Adam Pengilly as well.
Don't sell yourself short, Mido. Don't sell yourself short.
Teamwork.
Did you think it had run fourth? I was worried.
Halfway down the straight, I thought, no, this is not going to run fourth. It's going to run a nice fifth or sixth or something like that. Yeah. But it lifted for the listeners, Mido. It lifted for the listeners.
Thank you, mate. Have a great day.
See you, boys.